Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hello, everybody. Sheika in the house. Good to see you. Today, we are going to talk about how to, and equally important, not to, give cleaning bids that give maximum impact. For any of you guys that have been in the cleaning business long enough, you know how hard and expensive it can be to get the opportunity to bid, and that we only get so many, right? There's certainly a limited amount of bids in this universe. So you want to make sure that you do it right and get the biggest bang for your buck on those bids. And there's a definitive way to do this in an effective way that's going to close more bids, get you the right customers, keep the wrong customers away. And there's certainly a wrong way to do this wrong and get lost in the whole chasing people that aren't interested after you've given them their bid situation. That said, we've got TJ in the house, so we know that it's going to be a party. Good to see you, mi amigo. All right, so if we're not doing the bids right, or we're not giving them properly, aside from wasting all the money, it's just an extreme waste of your company's resources. You guys probably know as well as I do that doing all the work to get the opportunity and I have got to stop drinking before I do these lives. Hey, Joe Lou in the house. Always good to see you, buddy. Looking forward to talking to you on this afternoon's call, man. Anyway, doing all the work to get the opportunity to bid and then not winning it is hugely expensive, right? Because it takes so much time to turn strangers into people that know, like, and trust you, continue that conversation ideally in an automated way. So when they're ready to buy, they come reach out to you, and then to actually go out there and meet with them and then put together the bid, and all that work is exactly the same whether you win the bid or not. So let's do what we can to make sure that you win as many as possible. And every dollar that you will ever earn in your company's history or future will depend on you knowing how to bid at least as good, if not better, than every other bidder out there. So this is a huge opportunity because every single bid that you're going to do comes from here. Miranda, good to see you. And oh, I'm so excited have you. And Jason Johnson, fellow, he's one of my Millionaire Alliance guys that's starting to do his own Facebook lives. And I couldn't be prouder of that guy, all the way up from Alaska. He's not as good looking as I am, but he's a lot smarter. So make sure if you want to check out what he's doing, reach out to him in his Facebook live. So the other thing I want to mention before we dive into it is you can lose as much on a bid, or can go losing a bid can be as bad as winning. The saying in the construction field that I always had that saved me a ton of money is you can lose as much by winning a loser than losing a winner. So if and when we're not sure, always make sure that you bid. And we're not going to talk about how much to bid as much we are going about how to get your bid won. And it's going to be nothing about low price. We're going to give a bunch of ways to make sure that your bids get won, and zero of them are going to be to lower your price. So make sure that you're not winning any losers. And if you got to lose a winner, or what you think's a winner or could be a winner, if you charge more and you got to walk away from it, walk away. So, all right, let's talk about, I always like going over the beliefs that hurt and help our clients, because that seems to be, once we get the beliefs right, everything else seems to sort out. So one of the biggest beliefs is I'll just show up on the bid, right? If they could book it online, or if my secretary sets it, or I've got some person I pay. What happens prior to when I show up to the bid doesn't have anything to do with it. It's all me and my charm, wit, and personality, you know, doing sneaky stuff, like putting my finger where it's dirty and like letting them notice. That's what's going to close me a bid. Natalie's laughing because she knows how many people do that and how ridiculous it is. It's just offense. And just by the way, as a quick rant, that is offensive to your client, because what you're doing is, look how stupid you are. Look what a dumb mistake that you've made. You must be, you know, how dumb would you have to be to hire a cleaner that would treat you like this? That's a great way to get that person to want to get you out of their universe as quickly and as effectively as possible. So let's not resort to cheap, you know, that was when my last job 20 some years ago was as a car salesman. They taught us, when you walk around a car, to like, oh, make sure you touch and put your hand on all the things that are wrong with the car. And I always felt like a dirtbag doing that. I never liked doing that. So don't do that when you clean. It is not sneaky or subtle, or like you're not the only one to think of it. I promise. It just pisses off your person and makes them feel stupid. And when they feel stupid, they want you to be out of their universe. So rant over. Let's move on with how to give cleaning bids for maximum impact. So first and foremost, we got to understand that when you set the appointment for the bid, when you set the table for that bid, that is where I would say at least 50, if not more, percent of the work is done. If you don't have ground rules around what's going to happen, will you have their full attention? How long will it be? Will the decision makers be there? Is there any pain? Why are you coming out? Will there be 37 other bidders, or is it just going to be you? Questions like this need to be agreed on before you go. You do not have to go on every bid that you were invited to. You get to pick the jobs that you go on. The more selective you are, and again, we're going to give you all the tools that you need to win the bids, but you want, again, make sure you're winning winners, not winning losers. So you do not have to go on every bid. For me, if there's no pain, and I don't have to get a ton of pain over the phone, just enough to know that it's not like, I don't care. My boss told me to get 3 bids. Do you want to come? Pass. That would be lack of pain. If the decision maker is not going to be there, I'm not going on that bid. If it's a job walk with 12 other bidders, I am not going on that bid. There's lots of reasons that you would not. If it's just about budget, we're going to get a bunch of bids and the lowest price wins, I am not going on that bid. So first and foremost, we've got to make sure that we're disqualifying the wrong bids and not even wasting our time going on them, so we have more time to focus on the right bids. And it is okay to say no to someone that wants you to come out and bid. Natalie, you are so much prettier than me just about every day. I'm going to take a wild guess. You have something to add to this long, boring rant. What you got, sister?
I think it's just about every day. There are some days that you are a prettier princess than me.
Cleaning Nation's going, I've never seen that day.
No, I think it's a little bit like just, you know, like a metaphor, like dating, right? Like, would you go on a date where the person's like, yeah, I've got my cell phone, I'm not really going to give you the attention. And
that was our first 7 dates. How dare you?
I said I was sorry for bringing Bob.
That guy's a jerk. Still hate him. I don't know why he has to do our lawn. Anyway, go ahead.
But again, it's like, what kind of relationship are you going to have going forward if they can't even give you the courtesy of giving them giving you their full attention, or saying, hey, I've got all these other people, compete with them and fight it out. That's not the position that you want, right? Because then you're putting yourself as this expendable vendor, that this nameless, faceless person that if something goes wrong, they're not going to call you and say, hey, Mike, you know, you guys missed this last week. It really bummed me out because we had a big important meeting where my house wasn't clean for these guests, and they're just going to fire you without giving you any notice. But if they know you, like you, and trust you, and you have set the foundation of having a respect between each other, just that working relationship is going to be far superior to you were the lowest bid and, you know, I didn't like the other guy's shirt or whatever.
Couldn't agree more. And TJ says, what's a good way to respond if they tell you they're going to get a bunch of bids and want you to give one too? No, thanks. That would be I'm going to pass. We're pretty particular about who we take as clients. And we are here to solve a problem. And if you're serious about solving that problem, I am first in line to help you solve that problem. If you just want to get 37 different bids, I'm not going to be one of them. Best of luck. There's someone in our life, I won't mention whom, who has the habit of asking our advice and then several other people's advice. And then Natalie knows who that is. So she's smiling. And then doing none of it, or taking the worst of each bit and doing that. And then it never works. So
Asking for the advice and then saying, well, no, I don't think you understand. It's like,
right. Yeah. There's always a reason where the advice is. Anyways, they're going to do what they're going to do. So, and I've opted not to give any more advice in that circumstance. So the same goes for a bid. If they go, we're not, you know, we're just going to get 12 people out here and have all of them give us their opinion on how to solve this problem, and we're really going to go with whatever the cheapest response is. Their pain is the lowest bid. I'm never going to be the lowest bid. So why waste their time and my time and all the headache? So I'm always going to translate that into, I mean, goodness, if someone called me and said, hey, I want your help coaching my business, I've got 12 other coaches and I'm going to go with the cheapest one, I'm like, I guarantee I ain't the cheapest. If I'm not the most expensive, let me know so I can raise prices. But that's a waste of time because that's too many cooks in the kitchen. If they really want to solve their problem, they might say, I'm going to talk to a couple people and find out who I think can best help me. I'm not offended at that. But if it's all about price, pass, pass, and super pass. So now that we know, so go ahead, Natalie.
I was actually, that was kind of just touching on what I was going to say, because they said they're going to get a bunch of bids, but it's like, well, what are you looking for? Right. Are you looking for the lowest price? Are you looking for somebody who could really solve your pain? That might be a good.
And some of the times they don't know what they don't know, right? Sometimes they're not bad customers. They don't know what to ask. So they think, yeah, of course I just want the lowest price. And a fun conversation, which is super passive aggressive. So if you want to make fun of people, not win bids, you would do this. This isn't going to work, but you start asking questions, which is, lowest price. Got it. Absolutely. So insurance doesn't matter. Well, no, I need insurance. Oh, okay. Well, then that may not be the lowest price. Do you need the employees to be legal? Oh, you want legal employees? Well, that's probably not gonna be the lowest price. Do you want uniforms? Do you want the people to actually clean? Do you care who has the keys to your building if they're criminals? Like, you start asking questions. They go, well, no, I can't have that. No, I need that. Oh, no, of course I can't have that. And realize, again, but again, you have to move to the place of a consultant, not just they jump and you say how high. All right. So now that we know that it is as important on how you set the appointment, what kind of ground rules you set in, that you don't have to go on every bid that you're going to go on. We're going to require certain things like pain, the decision maker being present, not low price, not being the other thing. The next piece is, I would never go on in a bid without an agreement around what is going to happen next. So what that might look like is, and I'm never going to high pressure or try and make anyone do anything. My job, you always want to be neutral, right? You want to be to the point of someone's calling, they're looking for help. You're trying to understand, one, if they really want help, and two, if it's a problem that you can solve, and then try and help them solve it. And if that's with you, great. If that's not with you, great. So what I'm going to do is, someone's like, hey, come out a bit. I'm going to slow that process way down. Hold on. Before we do that, is it okay if I ask a couple questions and really try and understand what it is you're looking to accomplish before I come out and give you a bunch of numbers? I'll give you a bid right now, $6. Well, that's obviously ridiculous, because like, for what? What are you going to, I don't know. I don't know what you want. Can I ask some questions? Can we really get some clarity? And then I'm going to say something like, hey, if I get out there and for whatever reason, hey, Vince, good to have you, man. If I get out there and for whatever reason you don't think it's a good fit, are you okay just giving me a heads up and letting me know? 9 out of 8 people are going to say, yeah, that's fine. And then you can turn it around and go, if I get out there and for whatever reason, I don't think we're the best fit, right? I think we're not what you're looking for. I'm not going to be able to solve your problem at a high level. Are you okay with me just telling you that? Is that okay? Again, they're going to love that and go, absolutely. If for whatever reason I get there and you think I'm great and I just know that I can solve your problem and I'm the best person in the world, take care of it, what would you like to see happen next? That is a very open-ended question. It puts them in power, and they're going to do one of two things. One, they're going to give you an objection that you'd like to hear now. Well, I'll have to go talk to the decision maker, or, well, we're going to get 17 other bids, or whatever the case may be. And trust me, you want to get that objection now when you haven't wasted any time going out there, as opposed to later. Or two, they're going to go, well, then we'll get going. What do you mean? What will happen next? So typically I'm not going to go on a bid unless I've got some sort of commitment that if they aren't able to disqualify me and vice versa, we're going to move forward. Okay. That will eliminate the think it overs. My least favorite. I'm okay with someone saying, are you kidding me? You're ugly. You're stupid. And your bid's too high. All right, I'm just kidding. That would probably hurt my feelings a little, but I would get over it. It really hurt my feelings when Natalie said that on our first date. But she married me, so she's stuck now. So I'm okay with a yay. I'm okay with a nay. I don't like to think it over. It's my least favorite when I had sales teams, when they came back and, oh, how'd it go? It went great. Did you get that? No, it's always, there's a story and something's going to go and blah, blah, blah. It never works out great. The think it over is a kiss of death. So you want to make sure that you never go out on a bid without an agreement. What's going to happen next? So we're probably halfway through this broadcast and we haven't even gotten to the bid yet. Right. So hopefully you guys are understanding how we set the bid and who we go to bid on is as important, if not more important, is what happens when you get on the bid. I would actually say it's more important than when you get on the bid. All right. So another big mistake that we want to make is I've got to go back to the office and I'll email you the bid. Or when they say, oh, just email me the bid. Email me the bid. Again, if they have a problem they're really trying to solve or they don't. If they have a problem they're really trying to solve, they probably don't want you to email the bid, right? If they want you to get out of their office and leave them alone, they're probably just trying to brush you off. So I never am going to email a bid ever. Never am I going to email a bid. If that guy doesn't have the time to talk to me to come give him 7 minutes to go over the bid with him, I don't have the hours it's going to take to create the bid. So first and foremost, if and when, and this is going to be 90 to 100% of the time on residential and maybe more than 50% on the commercial, depending on who your niche is. If I can figure out what the bid is going to cost, I'm going to get it right there. So you might have some pre-printed forms that you can have filled out where you can fill in the price and the frequency and some of the details. So gosh, if it's under I don't know, $500 a month, maybe even $1,000, depending on how confident you are, you should be able to figure that that out. TJ says, I've been using this appointments that are outlined. Feels awkward at first, but really helps filtering out the people that are looky loos. You are not kidding. And this does feel weird, by the way. So anyone that's like, I want to do this and get these results without any change or uncomfortable or growth, this will not work for you. You've got to kind of try it and test it. And it takes a while to get smooth with it. And you know, that's why we have systems and processes that we implement. So you want to have everything ready to go, and when possible, if you can figure out what the thing is going to cost, give them the bid right there. My expectation, if I go on a bid that's, you know, not thousands and thousands of dollars, and again, almost every residential, is I'm going to leave with a signed service agreement and a signed credit card thing, and I'm going to run their card that day or the first of the month, but typically that day for the upcoming services. So again, the big issue when we're going out, the big goal is to really get clear on their pain. And as important, if not more important, is get them clear on their pain. When they are clear on their pain, that is when they're going to solve it. And that's when we need to get it fixed. So it is not fair to them to put them in the state of pain and really have them clear on, oh my gosh, here's what it's costing me. And here's why my life is miserable and I've got to get this solved. And they're like, okay, well, I'll see you in a week. Right. And if that's what it has to be, that's what it has to be. But if you can give them a bid right there and solve it, that is when they're most likely to sign up for help. And that is when you're going to bring them the most value. Any thoughts, Natalie?
No, I completely agree. It's just all about pain. People don't buy on facts and logic. They buy on emotion.
We're not kidding.
Getting that, you know, what they do is they buy on emotion and then they use the facts and logic to back up their emotional decision. So if you can get them to that point of like, I have this emotional pain, and then with the bid, back it up to saying, oh, I know that they can solve this pain with this bid, and you itemizing it out, that's how you're making them feel good about their decision with you.
That's a writer downer, folks. People buy based on emotion, and sometimes they'll back it up with logic, but they always make their decision on emotion. Certainly on the residential side, I know on the commercial side, sometimes it feels like that's not the case, but it is always the case. They'll say things like, we are looking for the most cleaning at the less dollars. What they're really looking for is, I believe this human being will make me feel good about myself. I believe this human being will make me look good in front of other people. I think this person represents my path to less stress in life. It's all emotion, is not logic. Karen says, I find it's been a price shopping experience for most of the commercial jobs I've quoted, which are smaller accounts, and I've given them a price on the spot. Well, it's fantastic giving them a price on the spot, but we've got to make sure, again, if it's a price shopping experience for most of the folks, we're probably going on the wrong appointments. And again, we're not going to cover this today, but how we get the bid has a lot to do with it, right? If it's just some, you know, RFP put out by some big conglomerate, we're just job walkers, whoever, open to anybody, I'm not even thinking about that. The reason I'm not is we have systems to attract the right customers to us. So the beautiful thing with me is I never have to talk to anyone that wants, quote unquote, a bid. People call me looking for help. And if I think I can help them, I help them. And if don't, I still try and help them. Just I'm not the guy to be a part of that solution. So we want to make sure that we're only going on bids and attracting the customers that are really looking for a problem to solve. And that problem is almost never, it's a pain in the neck to switch cleaning companies, right? So it's almost, I've never met it. I should say I've never met. The truth is almost never. I can't remember anyone that the real truth was, I want to save money, right? It's generally I'm pissed off. Some of my needs aren't being met. I'm frustrated. Someone's taking advantage of me. And sure, I might try and save money in the process, but usually there's something else that pissed them off, and then they justify it by going, well, I'm going to save some money. So, all right. Another big issue that we've got to overcome is this fear or this false belief of clients aren't going to tell you their budget and it's rude to ask. That's just not true. They'll absolutely tell you their budget. And it is part of your job as a professional to know what their budget is so you can help them, right? I had a car dealership, and if someone come in and said, what does a car cost? Of course I'm going to go, what do you want? There's cars that exist for $100, right? Scrap metal. And there are cars that are several million dollars. So it would be irresponsible for me to show them a several million dollar car if their budget is $23,000, right? So really important that we understand their budget so we can serve them. And second, they will absolutely tell you their budget when you have their pain. So most people come in and it's all about them. We want to clean this. We do this. We want clean, clean, clean. You know, we would never leave a stapler on the floor or this kind of mess or that kind of mess. It's all about the superficial cleaning. That is not what you're going to do. You're going to understand, like we talked about, the pain that you're really solving, the emotional problem that they called you out for. When you have that emotional problem and you help them get clear on what it's costing them and how their life is substantially worse because this isn't solved, and you get them committed to fix it, that is when you can get a budget, right? And you get an honest budget. And it is absolutely, if you, and you have to earn the right to ask for that budget, right? So you don't just walk in and be like, hey, how much money do you have in your pocket? But once you've asked some questions and you really try to understand their pain, and as part of that process, once you have their pain, you want to solve it, and you want to make sure that you can solve it on their budget, right? If their budget's $1,500 a month and it's a $4,000 a month account, it's your job to tell them, this, you got a $4,000 a month problem, not a $1,500 problem. What would you like to happen next, right? So really important that you get the bid at the right point, which is right after they have given you their pain. And then I always ask them to commit to solving it. And then I ask their budget, and almost never do we not get a real budget. Also, that belief of it's natural for you to have to chase customers after you give them the bid, right? That is killing you. When you do it right, like we talked about earlier, there's never think it over. There's always a clear future. There's always ground rules. So when we come out, the expectation is going to be, we're ready to get started, or we've disqualified one another, right? So we always kind of clear that up at the beginning, not afterwards. After you've given them the bid, if you don't have some sort of agreement as to what's going to happen, now it's you're playing hide and seek, man, right? You used to call and they pick up the call. Now all of a sudden they don't answer, they don't respond, they're not interested.